Up the Mexican tradition of El Día de los Muertos because of the playful approach to death that it offers. This celebration invites us to let go of the fear of death that is a hallmark of much of Western culture. More than 500 years ago, when the Spanish conquistadors arrived in what is now mostly Mexico, they found that the Aztec people were practicing a festival dedicated to the goddess Mixtecahuatl that seemed to mock death. In their attempts to convert these people to Catholicism, the Spaniards tried to kill the ritual, but like the old Aztec spirits, it refused to die. Whenever Christian conquerors encountered a pagan ritual that they could not squelch, they at least tried to make it fit better into Christianity. So they simply moved the celebration so it would coincide with All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day, November 1st and November 2nd, which is when El Día de los Muertos is celebrated today. My own introduction to El Día de los Muertos happened many years ago in a high school Spanish class when my teacher brought a collection of calacas, or scenes of skeletons doing everyday things in everyday life, sitting on a park bench, playing musical instruments, surfing, standing together at an altar, getting married. I recognized that right away this was a departure from the way that my family approached the topic of death. The native people believed that death is a natural part of the circle of life and was not something to be afraid of. People celebrate with a sense of humor and playfulness.
Renowned writer Octavio Paz observes that undaunted by death, the Mexican has no qualms about getting up close and personal with it. Noting that he, quote, chases after it, mocks it, courts it, hugs it, sleeps with it. It is his favorite plaything and his most lasting love. Perhaps it is because I was transracially adopted that I do not have this cavalier attitude that I'm supposed to have. I am Mexican, but I have a very healthy dose of fear when it comes to death and dying. I remember lying in bed as a kid and imagining life or not life in this big black hole, and I would just feel the panic well up inside. However, Paz might have a point when talking about the Mexican culture. I can picture mi papá in all of his bravado and swagger, yelling at death when he drank his tequila. The bottle and his eyes glowing in the light as he laughed and celebrated not only his own life, but remembered the lives and the history of our family so long buried. Raising his glass in a toast to the family surrounding him, he downs it and challenges death to take him. How ready he is, how at peace, how intimately he knows death. Having danced with her a number of times on the battlefield of Korea, and most recently at the VA hospital. Each time he shook off her grasp, promising that they would tango later. One visit I will never forget. Papa and I were talking and listening to music, watching the generations talk, laugh, eat, when he turns to me, "Alison." He says in a very deep and gravelly voice, His voice that way because he had a tracheotomy from smoking those Mexican cigarettes when he started at 13. Don't do that. "Sí, papa. Death is a woman, and she will not come for me." What? I look at him, surprised. This has come out of the blue, literally. We were not discussing death at all. But the death are never far behind when I visit in Mexico. My forebears seem to dance among the shadows with us in the moonlight and are remembered often. Every visit I have with mi familia, we talk about the past. Memories and stories of my grandfather interweave with my papa's own family history. As the music plays and the stories seemingly wind their way into my heart, into my own history, bathing me in a golden legacy. My papa repeats again, Death is a woman. My eyes mirror the amusement and mischievousness that I see in his. I said, all right, I'll take this hook. Oh, really? She will not come for you. He shakes his head solemnly. She has visited me a few times, but she is afraid of me. And he raises his index finger to make his point. I can only look at him, my eyes transfixed upon him. She will not come, for she is afraid I will impregnate her. We all laugh. For 10 children later, his virility is legendary. Because of his intimate knowledge of La Muerte and the way the cultura deals with death, there is no fear. A healthy dose of respect, yes. But death is no longer wrapped in a cloak of mystery and therefore has no fear of that darkness. I am envious of my birth father's confidence.
There are some Westerners who are attempting to shift our collective fearful attitude toward death. An organization called the International Association for Near-Death Studies has collected millions of anecdotal stories of near-death experiences from people around the world. Of course, not everyone has the same experience of death. Across cultures and religions, there are some fascinating differences that emerged, but also a striking amount of similarities. Most people who have come back from death report having felt a deep sense of peacefulness and love, and that they no longer fear dying. There's a story in my own family that has reduced my fear of death. It's a story from my maternal grandmother, my mom's mom. My grandfather had been suffering with Alzheimer's for about 10 years. And with the encouragement of her children, my mom and aunts and uncles, my grandmother finally decided to move him into a skilled nursing facility because she was old herself, had a lot of illness, and couldn't care for him anymore. She agonized over that decision. But my grandfather died just a couple of weeks after he was admitted to the facility. On top of mourning for him, my grandmother couldn't shake the feeling that her decision to move him had somehow caused his death. She was racked with both grief and then guilt for months. And then one morning, just before dawn, something happened that changed the way she felt. Here's the story as she tells it. I woke up suddenly, for some reason, and I just knew he was in the room. I heard the bed springs creak, and I felt the edge of the bed lower under his weight. I could smell him the way he always used to smell, the cologne and soap and his wool sweater combined. He leaned over, and I felt him kiss me lightly on the lips. And then I heard him whisper, "It's okay. Everything is okay." And then as soon as it happened, it was over, and he was gone. She still longed for him, of course, the way he used to be before the disease took so much of his mind. But from that day on, my grandmother felt relief and peacefulness about his death. So how do we make sense of that story? Was it really a visit from my grandfather's ghost? Was it simply my grandmother's imagination or a dream? There is no way to know for sure. Her experience cannot be explained logically or empirically, but that does not make it any less real or meaningful.
El Día de los Muertos is believed to welcome the souls of the dead. Our beautiful song sang by our lovely choir this morning welcomed everybody here. The souls are said to return each year and enjoy the pleasures of life that they had. There are wonderful things on this ofrenda that tantalizes the dead and invites them through. There are fresh-smelling flowers, bright, vibrant, that says, come, candles. There are favorite food, drinks. There are pan de muerte, which you will enjoy in the core area. The first few days of the celebration in Mexico is for the children that have passed, the little angelitos. So all of the altars have miniature little cups, little saucers, little toys. In fact, death is so much a part of everyday life that living children play funeral with toys that are made to represent coffins and undertakers. Assured that the dead would be insulted by mourning or sadness, the adult dead are said to return on November 1st, where they are celebrated by the living with food and drink, parties and activities. An altar, the ofrenda, is erected in the home, pictures, food. It's everything to entice and keep awake the spirits from their eternal sleep to share. There's usually some mirror, water, maybe a comb or two. It's a long trek from the other side. Copal incense, and sometimes the paths of marigolds are spread to the front door. Outside the home and in a larger communal celebration, families visit the graves of their loved ones. They wash them, adorn them with more fragrant marigolds, and community picnics are eaten in the cemetery, sometimes on the headstones itself. Sometimes there's a parade and there's musicians, and it is full of dancing and laughter. At the end of the night, spirits are danced back home, encouraged to return to the spirit world, knowing that they were kept alive and honored. We made it very comfortable while they were here visiting, so they just have to be encouraged a little bit to go back. The dead feel honored and not forgotten. They feel valued. Everything that we strive for in life, having people carry on our legacies of love.
So in just a moment, we are all going to help create this altar together. An invitation for the spirits that of your loved ones to come and be in a celebration with us, a party. We will adorn this space with mementos and tokens of love that we still carry for those who have passed on, and together we will celebrate the bright lights of their spirits that still guide us today. So if you did not bring a memento, you can write or draw something on a piece of paper that you may have gotten when you came in. If you did not and you would like one, the ushers are ready to hand them to you. Just raise your hand and they will bring them around. On the paper, you might want to write a name or names, or you may want to try your artistic abilities and draw something that they loved that you think would help entice them to this space. Think about what it is that they love to do in life. What do they love to eat or drink? So let your offering be something that lifts up the joy that was their life. And in this way, we invite their spirits here for a party. I'm going to begin by sharing an ofrenda, and then I invite any and all who would like to come forward. You can place your item on the altar in silence if you choose, or I will have a microphone if you would like to tell us who it is that you are honoring, and one or two words, please no more, because we have a lot of spirits to bring in. We're going to need a lot of time. I have it. It was hiding. I brought a photo of my father from the, I'm going to guess this must have been the 1940s. He was a college student and he is earnestly studying. And my father was earnest and loved to study. So I bring Rolf Conrad I invite you to join us. Anyone else? Come on up. We're just going to form a couple lines here and bring our offerings up.